Right, we're going. So I'm Christine Schimmel, and I'm here at the Macmillan unit at the Northern General Hospital, and it's the 9th of November 2010, and I'm with Roy
Shenton.
Roy Shenton, who's another volunteer here, and we're going to be talking about the police force in Totley. Yeah. So, what memories do you have?
Well, I joined the police force in 1948. I'd been in the army, the latter end of the war.
So, and when were you born, Roy? What year were you born?
I was born in 1926, and I'd be 22 when I joined the police force in 1948. I'd been in the army for 3 years then, and I was a little bit disappointed that I got appointed to the Woodseats Division, which covered the areas of Dore and Totley. I think I wanted to be where the action was, down in the centre of the city. And I got was the one, I thought at the time, unfortunate to be posted to the Woodseats Division, because it seemed a lot of it seemed to be rural area. But in actual fact, it was the best posting I could possibly have.
And so were you posted to the Woodseats police station that we know now on Chesterfield Road?
On Chesterfield Road. I can remember going there one Saturday afternoon, and my wife was a nurse in the army, in the Queen Alexandra's, and she'd come home after I got about 6 months service in the police, and we were allowed a week off, took my leave a week in advance, got married, went down to London, and I came back from London on a Saturday morning to go work the 4 to 11 o'clock, half past 3 to 11 o'clock shift at Woodseat Station on the Saturday afternoon. It was all strange to me, being in the police service, although I'd been in the military police during my service and served abroad.
So was it very different? Were the rules different? Was it a different organisation?
The organisation then, the police force, of course, at the present time has changed beyond my belief. I just can't imagine that it's changed so different, so extensively. But when I joined, I gathered that it had not much different from what it was after the First World War. In fact, at that time, they just finished with the fixed routes. That's where the box system, of course, which was adopted in Sheffield, where a policeman came out of the box then, and he worked either left about or right about, and the route was planned where you would cross the road and what roads you would go down on your left about, and then when you come back after a four hour tour, you'd have half an hour for your meal, and then they go right about. But you'd no choice of where they go. And in fact, you get people who say, "You're a bit late tonight, Bobby, aren't you?" You know, they knew what time you would be passing their particular house. But that had changed to the point system, where you made an intersection of a road was appointed either A, B, C, D, E, F, G, particularly on Totley and Dore. And you would fix your route from a police box to a police box and make 2 points, 2 intersections of roads where the sergeant could be there or not. No radios, of course, then. It merely, you were planning where you thought the action would be, but in Woodseats Division, and particularly Totley and Dore areas then, I would put action with inverted commas on, because there didn't seem much action to me. And, of course, the action would be what you made out of it. But of course, with it being a smaller division than West Bar Division, if you got the right idea, you could soon shine. And the idea was to talk to people, get to know your area, who the villains were, who the people, where it happened, what public houses you got to watch out for, what people went to these public houses, and you gradually got this knowledge that you became more or less a heartbeat constable, same as it showed you, rather than a city constable.
So what was your patrol area then? Were you
well, I could work anywhere from Highfields, which was bordering on the Central Division there, to anywhere right up to the Toad's Mouth.
So what are your memories of Totley?
My memories of Totley were really starting off from on a point, and I'll just say a particular point would be the bottom of Door Road and Abbeydale Road South. And there was a police box in Totley. And I would
whereabouts
make...
Whereabouts was it, the police box?
Almost opposite to the road which leads to the Wagon and Horses. The from the main road to the Wagon and Horses.
Well,
it would be opposite the end of there.
There's the Crown pub down on Hillfoot Road. Do you know, near the Cross Scythes pub?
Oh, sorry, yes. I'm talking about the door area at the present time, sorry.
Right, okay.
So, we'll go back onto Totley there. And I would start at the bottom of Door Road and make my way to the police box at Totleybrook Road, end of Totleybrook Road. And I would be there within a half an hour, because that was just an half-hour route.
Was that on foot or on a bike?
On foot,
right.
But on the bike or on foot, if you hadn't got allocated a bike, and there wasn't one available, a spare one available in the station, then you'd work foot. Yeah, then you'd work it on foot. In fact, it was like going on a long ramble in uniform. And from Totleybrook Road, I'd make my way up to Totley. And the box was outside the public house on the right hand side going up to the Cross Scythes, I think it was the Cross Scythes, opposite where the old Derbyshire police house was. The crest is still above the house, of course, but it's been obliterated. The Derbyshire crest has been obliterated. And of course, that was 13 years earlier, in 1935, when the Door and Totley villages, which was one particular beat for the Totley police constable, went into Sheffield City. And of course, I'd like to talk about how my knowledge of Totley got began by the last PC who worked there was a man called Sid Andrews. Now, Sid was a character of the first order. He was what I later found to be a typical heartbeat constable and a typical county constable, even though he was transferred in the city. I could always imagine Sid being the village constable. And of course, he got a choice then, whether he stayed with Derbyshire or when he went to Matlock.
When there was the transfer between...
When the transfer was decided. He did have a choice whether he went into Sheffield City or whether he went into the county, and he would have been posted to Matlock. But Sid was all there, and he realised that he was getting on in service. He'd been a PC there shortly after the First World War. And he realised where his bread was buttered, and that he would be able to buy his house with a rent allowance rather than go from police house to police house in the county. And he bought a house in Glover Road.
Do you know what number?
I don't know what number, but I know a person who can, because the ward manager here, Alison, lived either next door or next door but one to him.
We'll ask Alison, right, Sid.
But Sid was a character who I learned and loved. He was the best type of person to me, because he was a gossipy type of sergeant. And he would spend some time with you when you met him. And he'd always stories to tell. And I remember one incident that he told me about. He was a Mad Sheffield United supporter. And he told me that he went to Bramall Lane one Monday afternoon. It was a replay with Wolverhampton Wanderers. And Sid was on special duty. It had been snowing. But despite the snow, although they played on the Saturday, the replay was on the Monday. And Sid was on special duty. And United played Wolverhampton Wanderers, and they didn't score United until the last 3 minutes. And Sid was such an excitable type of person, and such an enthusiastic Sheffield United supporter, that he threw his helmet into the air when the Sheffield United scored. But this had been spotted by the assistant chief constable in the stand, who was facing him, because he was on the side where the cricket pavilion was, and he saw this took place. And the inspector came running across, and as soon as the match had ended, which only a few, 2 or 3 minutes later, the inspector came running across the centre of the pitch right to Sid, and he says, "Andrews, you have just been employed by the Sheffield United Football Club for the last time. You will never work a special duty here anymore." He says, "Everybody saw you throw your helmet up into the air." But that was just only one of the things that was said. Most noticeable thing was when Sid was a very, very keen gardener. And he had two allotments.
Do you know where they were?
No, not far from where his house was. But this is the thing that Alison could tell you. And he was a very keen rose grower, but he was a much keener grower of potatoes and runner beans. And one of the big social occasions in Sheffield at that time was the Sheffield City Police Horticultural Society annual show. And this took place in a marquee at the top of Angel Street, which would later be where the hole in the road was. And it was a big occasion for all Sheffield people. The Star always covered it, and there's always complete two pages inside of the winners in the horticultural show. And Sheffield being a city ruled by aldermen and councillors, when an alderman retired, they wanted to give particularly if they'd been on the police authority, they gave a trophy. And of course you'd get, I remember Sid's prize and joy was 6 runner beans on a plate. And for that you get a cup which was equal to the FA Cup.
So big size.
So big. All the cups were, 6 tomatoes on a plate, and you would get one just as big. There were tremendous trophies. I suppose each alderman was trying to outdo the other one. So they were worth winning. It wasn't the cash prize, it was the honour and the fact that he got a photograph in the Sheffield Star. Now, another person who was a keen rose grower and runner bean grower was Detective Chief Superintendent George Carnell. Also a character, but not as nice a character as Sid. And he had been runner-up in the prize for the 6 best runner beans for probably 15 years. And in fact, I didn't learn. I was told by Sid very, very early on when I joined that Sid had won this trophy for 16 years running. He'd been the holder for 16 years, and his name was printed on the plinth of the trophy on 16, where he put it. And George Carnell, the chief superintendent, had been come second. But on the other hand, Sid Andrews come second in the Rose prizes, and George Carnell, the chief superintendent, won those trophies for that. So there was some competition between the two. And I'd be about 2 years servicing, and I was having a meal one night in the dining room at Woodseats Police Station. And although I was a young PC, there was a chair for me to sit down, because you sat down and you had your meal round the table if you got sufficient servicing.
What happened if you didn't?
If you didn't, you just stood up in the corner and ate your sandwiches. There's no there. And of course, I was there that night when, that year, it'd be about end of July, and Sid came in. At that time, he was in CID as a detective sergeant in CID. And I remember him coming through with this bundle under his arm, and although he got the sandwiches on the table, he cleared the table and he says, "I know that you young men are aware that it's the Horticultural Society show tomorrow. And of course, a lot of you will have learned that I am the one who quite often takes a lot of the prizes there. And in fact, I returned yesterday the trophy that I won for 16 years in concession for the 6 best runner beans." He says, "And you're fortunate, before you go out on your beat now, that you'll be able to see me, see those beans that I'm going to show tomorrow. It's a privilege for you." And he got these 6 beans out, and they'd be about 2 foot long, as straight as an arrow, and like a green, long green pokers. And he had there was a turkey plate in the mess room, and he got this turkey plate out, and he laid the beans out on the table, and we were told to gather round. We had not much option, and some of us said that it wouldn't be long. We'd almost finished our meal, our half hour meal, and we had to be about out on a beat. And he says, "Don't worry, I'm a detective sergeant," he says, "you'll be alright for just a few minutes until you've seen this," he says, "because it's probably an experience you'll not experience for the rest of your service." And he got these runner beans out, and he went to the sink, and he got a tea towel, and he got this tea towel, and he run some hot water, and then he put some cold water on, he says, and he handed this tea towel round, he says, "Just feel, this is the temperature you want, nothing warmer than this, nothing cooler than this," he said, "it's a certain temperature you learn by experience," he says, "and what you'll see, I'm going to lay this tea towel on there, and I'm going to put these runner beans on, and I'm going to fold them over from each end," he says, "and then what I do now," just, "and watch closely, I just move them gently and roll them so the moisture from the thing gets onto the sheen of the beans, but it will last the night because this is the last time I will touch them, because tomorrow morning I will come in at 7:30 and I will take these beans down to the horticultural tent. They've got to be in there before 9:00. But I like mine to be in first." And he was just rolling these gently. Then he unfolded them like a prize to show these beans, which were glistening with just the moisture from the towel.
So how did people respond to that? The people that were
there, no option but to respond by looking carefully, because if you looked away, it would spot you. So we were young PCs, trying to learn the job, but also this was a very high ranking officer. He was a detective sergeant. He was the only detective sergeant in the division, so if he said we were showing him this, well, that was part of our duty. So and of course it wasn't long before in the police service you learn to do as you're told, particularly by a senior officer, even a senior PC, you had to do as you were told. And he placed these one by one on this turkey plate, and he placed the damp tea towel over it, and he put it on a high shelf. And he put his name on, although he'd no need to, because everybody knew what it was. And I didn't go to the horticultural show that year. I couldn't. I think I was doing something at home. But I made a point of going the following year, and I didn't know what the atmosphere that it created. And the following day, the Sheffield Star had a special insertion about the prize winners of the Sheffield City Police Horticultural Society, and sure enough, Sid had won this trophy for the 17th time. And his photograph was in there holding the trophy, just like the youth Sheffield United captain would have held the FA trophy. And Sid eventually fell foul by his carefree attitude. He was reduced to the rank of police sergeant. He was reduced and sent out on the streets, which was demotion from CID.
So what had he done to get
promotion? Well, he got about 28 years service then, so you could say for the last, well, probably 29, and be prepared for the last two years, because he would do more than 30 years, as were usual practice by some of them then. And he went outside on outside duties as a uniform sergeant. Well, that's where I met his, I really got to know him. He had received a complaint from a working men's club, as there was the usual practice round about the year end, when the secretary or the treasurer came in and said that funds were missing from the club, and that they had spent the money quite often in admission, because I could never understand why clubs, working men's clubs, which really had a turnover of probably several thousand pounds, entrusted it to a member of the committee, and they were very lax in keeping the books and all like this, and invariably there'd be two or three treasurers from working men's clubs somewhere in the division who would walk in and give themselves up for defrauding the working men's club, and there'd probably be £300 or £400 missing, which was a lot. And of course the detectives, there'd be a sergeant and three detectives at Woodseats at that time, took them in turn to have them. But Sid got his complaint, we'll say, during the first week in January, and he'd thought he was too busy to do this, and he'd put it on top of the cupboard in the CID office on the first floor.
Right, so somebody had come in and
made a complaint to Sid.
Yeah,
he got all the books from the club, right, put it in a big envelope, put it on top of the wardrobe in the CID office, because we're going to see to it sometime in the near future. And he got to about August, when somebody made a complaint, of course, made a complaint to the chief constable, the head of CID sent an inspector up to Woodseats police station
to find out why
he hadn't done anything about it. And of course Sid got on a chair, brought this envelope out, and of course it was covered in dust. He'd done nothing. Now Sid was a little bit lax in his work, because he wasn't the most enthusiastic detective in the division.
So was there a lot of paperwork then, do you think?
There was a lot of paperwork, but nothing that couldn't be managed by a sergeant or a detective constable who got on with his job and didn't spend too much time gossiping to other people. But I'm afraid Sid came into that category. So really, his place was really, knowing him in uniform, his place was in uniform. He wasn't a detective. Somebody, it obviously carried favour with someone who'd appointed him into CID, but he was never the person for it. And his colleagues, when I made inquiry after Sid, said Sid wasn't happy in CID. He should never have been in CID. And he was, I think he got to the point where he was happier in uniform, walking the area. But of course he was working, instead of working just 9 to 5 and an occasional 2 to 10 shift, he was working 3 separate shifts of 2 weeks each on mornings, afternoons and nights.
So at the end of his career then he went back into
backwards.
That's when you got to know him.
I got to know him. It was, I'm glad, in a way, selfishly, I'm glad it happened, because I learned a lot about the Dawn and Totley areas from Sid's knowledge. But we go back then, Sid retired eventually, of course. I would be a PC, and I was told one day, could I call at Alderman Boot's house? Alderman Boot lived on Door Road, and it was a big house, very extensive gardens, as all the houses were on there. And we got to know the gardeners and the people who worked in the houses, because during the summer months in particular, if they went away on holiday, then we got each shift had to visit that house, but also sign a card as to what time we visited.